You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yo. Yo. Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we bout to party, we bout to party. Unrestricted, got the house now, we gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now, blousing like they bouncing, and the freaks are coming out now.
From the studios of All Elite Wrestling. Actually, that's a lie. We're actually coming from our homes.
I'm in my kitchen.
You're in your kitchen?
It's technically a dining area. There's like wedding photos and stuff up
okay.
behind me.
All right.
Real estate in Seattle is very expensive. I live in a very small house.
Anyway, welcome to AEW Unrestricted. We are the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. This is, how long have we been doing this, Aubrey?
Oh my God, like almost, I'd say we're coming up on like 3 years. Maybe?
On 3 years. How about that?
Maybe two? I don't know. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah, wait till you get my age. It'll feel like.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a long way away in your life. Anyway, I'm Tony Schiavone, along with referee Aubrey Edwards. Hey, Aubrey.
Hi, Tony. I love you.
Love you. I love you, too. And we also love our guest, Tony Storm, who's joined us. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So many Tonys.
Yes.
It's so great to have you in AEW. You've been such a delight to work with, and also you've given us such great matches. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I'm having the time of my life so far. So
yeah,
it's been great.
I think one of the favorite things is like now we've got three Tonys backstage, and I don't think we've ever run into any issue figuring out which Tony anyone is referring to, because there's like TK, Schiavone, and Tony, and it's just everyone knows and everyone follows along. It's great.
Oh, that's awkward, because I've been getting confused and I'm one of the Tonys, so that's this is going so well.
Yeah, that's actually why I use my last name. Hey, it's Schiavone. Anyway, Tony, let's start by this. You had your first wrestling match at age 13. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I guess it was a wrestling match. I started quite young for a really small company in Australia that allowed 12-year-olds to wrestle. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I got to wrestle, and yeah, I somehow made it through, and I'm still standing. I'm still here now.
So you start wrestling when you're 13.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, if you're wrestling when you're 13, you've been a wrestling fan in childhood. When was the first time that you were introduced to wrestling?
I was about 10 when I discovered it on TV. Yeah, it was kind of cool, though, to be a young wrestling fan, but also getting to do, you know, I got to go away each weekend and do wrestling moves. I was by no means good at all. Terrible. But it was fun. It was like a good thing that I got to do in my teens. It kept me off the street, kept me on the straight and narrow. If anything, it was a good thing.
And so 5 years later, you moved to the UK, right? And you
yes.
You go to Liverpool.
Yes. I lived in Liverpool I spent a lot of time there from when I was about 17, 18 onwards, up until moving over to the States 2 years ago. And that was, again, a really good experience. I loved living there. Really good city, Liverpool. I got to spend a lot of time all across different cities, all over the UK and all over Europe, because it's so close to everything. So that was a really good time for me, being able to live out there and experience it.
Is there a particular reason why you picked Liverpool over anywhere else?
Well, I have some family there, so I was like, shit, if anything goes wrong, I should probably go. I should probably be, you know, somewhere close to family. I was out there visiting family, and I was really close to the All-Star Wrestling School where Dean Ormark was head coach, and I went and trained there, and then I started working for Brian Dixon and doing like the holiday camps out there, like Butlins camps, and it's been a really good experience. I learned a lot out there, made a lot of friends, had a really good time.
We're talking with Tony Storm. This is AEW Unrestricted. Thanks for being with us. And Tony, we talked about 13-year-old Tony beginning, 18-year-old Tony moving to Liverpool, had family members there. Talk about the role your grandparents have played in your life.
Yeah, quite a big role, actually. My mom and my grandparents had pretty much raised me. I have like a close bond with them. So it was, you know, they were able to help me out when I would, by the time I'd moved to the UK. And yeah, it's good to have as much family around as possible.
Right.
Because I'm really close to my mom and my little sister, but they're in Australia. So at least when I moved to the UK, like I had some people, which was nice.
You've said in previous interviews that Jeff Hardy was a huge influence on your wrestling career. What's it like to now work with him and whatnot?
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I had my match with Jamie Hayter right before him and Darby Allin. It was pretty cool.
Right.
Really cool. Makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing. If I'm rubbing shoulders with people that I grew up watching, it's pretty cool that I get to share the same locker room, and yeah, it must mean I'm doing something right.
What about him as a performer stuck out to you?
Oh, you know how it is when you're a kid and you see Jeff Hardy, it's that
jumping
kind
off a ladder.
Yeah. That excitement, like no other. Got to see him, you know, sat back, like back row at a 2007 live event in Brisbane, got to see Jeff Hardy, you know, just total fanatic as a child, just that energy, the charisma, just love. Everyone loves Jeff Hardy.
Everyone does. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. It's just incredible.
Talk about the first time you met him. How did that go?
Nothing much to report. They just said hello. Don't want to like act like a crazy fan or nothing.
Right.
But it is cool. It is cool. I have mad respect for Jeff Hardy. I just think he's incredible, and he's been going so long and he's still taking crazy bumps. He's just crazy, man. It's awesome.
I saw him limping backstage after his match with Darby. He was kind of just kind of limping around.
I think everybody saw him limping.
Yeah. I said, man, are you okay? So yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I said, yeah, you are now.
Yeah. It's fine. As he limps over to medical to get ice.
Right. Just amazing the things he does.
I feel like that's the Jeff Hardy walk now. The Jeff Hardy walk is a limp.
Yeah, it really is.
I feel like it's more like the veteran limp. Like yeah. You've earned it.
Yeah.
You see some guy like kind of walking down. It's like, oh yeah, no, that's so-and-so.
You're the walk, yeah.
You've had some really incredible matches so far on AEW television, both on Dynamite and on Rampage. And I know we're going to see many, many more. But one of them that I want to talk about is you and Ruby Soho teamed up against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter in the opening of a Rampage episode recently. And it was very good. Like, I went back, I watched the match again. It was just super awesome. I love the chemistry that you and Ruby have. Like, what makes that chemistry work so well?
Oh yeah, I definitely feel that chemistry. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because we're very similar people, gone through very similar experiences, very similar careers. I feel like we have a lot in common. So I kind of knew going into it that we would just have this excellent chemistry, and we did, and I really felt it. I'm feeling that chemistry a lot already, like with not just Ruby, but being in there with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Those women are making a lot of noise right now, and it's exciting to be in the ring with them.
As we're recording this, Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter had their match in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament. Very special being in that tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible to be a part of. And to be first round, me and Jamie Hayter, I was definitely feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like setting the standard, like we've really got to have a good match here, because this sets the tone for the tournament going forward. But I had a great time winning.
Yeah.
I feel like every match that I'm having here so far is just kind of reigniting that passion more and more than I thought possible.
It was a great match. It really was, Tony. You should
Thank
be
you.
Proud of us. It was a very exciting match. I was glad to be able to be there for it. And I was,
Thank you.
You know, I love to give Jamie Hayter a hard time. You know that firsthand.
I've seen.
You've
yeah,
seen,
it's,
right.
It's good.
So I saw
I'm
her.
A big fan of it.
No, I saw her at the airport day. I said, hey, great match, Jamie. Great match. She said, thank you. I said, were you in it? I couldn't recall. I know Tony was in it.
Oh!
I love it.
And of course, she gives me a big shove. So anyway,
the best part is this is probably happening at 5 a.m. in the morning. So everyone's just tired and grouchy. Like, that's how I drew it up in my head. Oh, so great.
Yeah.
You got to be careful, too. She's probably like the strongest woman I've like ever been in the ring with. Seriously.
Isn't she? Yeah, she's just.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to give her too much credit or anything, but. Right. I felt like an infant being thrown around there. It was pretty cool.
No, it was funny. So we get to the back after the match, right? And like we're talking about stuff, checking in, making sure everyone's okay. And Tony just goes, "So strong, just so strong, strong. Just strong." Like, just keeps saying,
"You could just kill me. You could just kill me. Like I'm powerless to it." No, she's good. She's trained, but I lived with her actually for a few months.
Oh, wow.
That girl trains. Like, she would go to this garage gym for 2 hours straight and, like, could hear her, like, screaming. And, Jesus. Like, she's...
Legit.
So, like, I knew going into this match what I was up against. Like, yeah, this is gonna be... Yeah, she's gonna kill me. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
I think when I found out I was reffing this, I came up to you, too. I was just like, hey, so you guys are gonna beat the shit out of each other, right? And you're like, yeah! It's like,
yeah,
yeah, we're all gonna regret this later. Okay,
definitely gonna be that.
I got some more ammo now when I see her next time. I say, I talked to Tony. Don't you know? You were just so stiff in that match. I mean, just can't you just lighten up? Or
just so unprofessional.
So unprofessional.
No, I can't say that because someone now will quote me. They'll have some wrestling side be like, Tony Storm reveals Jamie Hayter is unprofessional. That's always what happens with everything.
You're right.
Always.
You're right.
You're 100%. Oh, my God.
Shut up and don't say a damn thing about what I say, all right, guys?
Yeah, we're having a good time ripping on each other. We're all friends. We love each other. You get it. Take your wrestling website and you know what to do with it.
Shove it up your ass.
Shove it up your ass. There you go.
Shove it up your ass.
That's the clickbait title. Tony Storm says, shove it up your ass to Jamie Hayter.
That's all I've got for all of you. That's all I have to say. Shove it up your ass.
All right. Less shoving up your ass and more back to anything else. So I know Tony Khan reached out to you. And I think you said that you're thankful that you're getting a second chance in your career.
Yeah.
Did you think that you were done with wrestling when you left WWE?
There was moments, like, at first, definitely. I was like, oh, well, this is shockingly terrible. I've got to leave forever. This is me done. And then, I mean, it didn't last long, you know, because I quit, left, sat on it for a while. You know, you get that wrestling itch. I really thought it was dead. I really thought I was done. I'm not done. I'm never done. I'm one of those, I'm a lifer. I'll probably be around until I'm old as hell and I'll probably have kids that wrestle and...
Got it all planned out.
I'm here for life. What else am I going to do? I don't have any other qualifications. I don't like anything else. I never showed an interest in anything whatsoever. I didn't really go to school. So, yeah.
Hey, Tony, and Aubrey, you'll agree with this. Once you're bitten by this bug.
It's a hell of a bug, yeah.
It's a hell of a bug. It's hard to get it out of your system, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we get it.
And before every match, I'm like, why do I do this? This is the worst. And then after, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like right through, go through the curtain, you're like, oh, yeah.
This is why I do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know.
We are talking with Tony Storm. You're listening to AEW Unrestricted. We have more. We'll talk about her run in Japan and much more on Unrestricted.
This is AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. Your hosts, Aubrey Edwards and Tony Schiavone, here with the wonderful and amazing Tony Storm. We were talking a little bit earlier about how we're all very tired and we see each other at the airport at 5 a.m. I'm rocking an energy drink today, like my good personal friend, Tony Schiavone, because I just got off the plane. Tony, I hear you had an interesting travel story today. What happened?
You're not going to believe it. It was quite an interesting morning, to say the least. I get my, I'm on like 8 a.m. from JFK going home. You know how it is, early flight, not much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of waking up on the plane as it's taking off. And so I'm sat on the plane. We're about to take off, but there's a bit of a delay. But the captain's like, it's fine. We've just got one more, like 10 minutes to go. We'll be up in the air shortly. There's this commotion kind of like somewhat beside me. I just have to get this off my chest because it was the most wildest, ridiculous thing I've seen for a while. I just have to tell people. And this guy just, I guess he didn't want to wait to go to the bathroom. I guess he really needed to go to the bathroom. So he had this empty cup, and I shit you not, he just was like, man, no, I can't. I'm going to piss myself. I can't piss myself. And like,
he whips it out.
Like, straight up whipped it out, peed in a cup. I'm not lying. This happened beside me. I can hear the cup filling. I can hear the cup filling. Oh. But I'm like, what do you do in that moment? I'm like mortified. It was, I was like, does this happen? Does this happen regularly on early morning flights from JFK?
Don't think so.
It was just insane. And this woman beside him was like, oh, it was a whole commotion. And then immediately after, this is where it gets weird.
It's not weird yet.
So okay. A few rows back, further back, like you hear this announcement, the flight attendant's like, oh, there's a very special person who wants to ask a very special someone a special something.
No!
And then I turn around and some guy is proposing to his wife, but like, I'm looking at this guy who's still holding his cup of piss, who like, I have to look at him to look at this guy who's proposing to the woman of his dreams on this disgusting flight. And it was just, it was too much all at once.
Yeah,
it was. But like, the worst part about the whole thing was when we were taking off, like, he's juggling this cup. I was mortified. It's one of those things where it's going to take a while to get that out of my head. It was right beside me.
Oh boy.
So he's juggling this cup full of urine. Yeah. And you're taking off and you're thinking this thing is going to slosh around any moment now, or he's going to drop it, worst of all. And now you're thinking in your mind, if I'm right here, you know, I can ding and get the flight attendant, but then again, it'll delay the flight another hour before they get his dumbass off and throw him off or something.
Oh, yeah. And then we landed and there was police standing right there. It was off.
They took him off the plane?
Yeah, they arrested him. You know what I'm thinking? Like, you know, flight attendants yell at me if my bag is slightly sticking out of the little seat thing and I'm being told off. And then a guy cannot sit next to me and just straight up take a piss in the seat beside me. He better be arrested. I'll be following up on this case.
So the flight attendants ever say anything? No, this is a tremendous story. This is worth a whole segment in itself. Listen, all this thing about stardom can wait. So,
screw it.
That's right.
I got more important shit.
So the flight attendants say something to him?
Well, the woman beside him gets the flight attendant and they're like, is there a problem? And she's like, yes. And there's commotion, but I think they try and keep it calm because, like, I guess no one wants a cup of piss slung at them. And like, no,
exactly.
Yeah. You can never cause too much commotion when someone's holding a cup of pee. Just so you know, guys, that's my wisdom for the day. That's my advice.
It's how I like to live my life. Just
don't try and reason with people with,
especially if they're holding a cup of pee in one hand and their cock in the other. You just never know.
No.
Be careful around that kind of behavior up in the air too.
Tony, congratulations. This story is going to live in infamy in my mind.
Yes.
I can tell you that right now.
You're welcome.
Okay. So when this episode airs, take the link and send it to whatever airline that you flew and say, hey, this was my experience. Can you please give me some free airline miles?
JetBlue, I'm looking at you. This was my first time flying JetBlue, by the way. And this is my experience. So I'm going to put that on the bloody rating card.
Putting JetBlue on blast. You guys let people on who piss in cups.
Do your customers always pee on the plane? Can I do it too?
We're talking with Tony Storm and we're talking about a variety of things.
A variety.
You said that wrestling in Japan, quote, made me grow up. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Okay. How do I put this? It's a really crazy experience living out there. I was like 20 years old when I first did like my first stardom tour, and I'm living in basically you go out there and you live in what is known as the Gaijin apartment, where they jam all the foreigners in one big room together. It's tiny. It's like three bedrooms, tiny. And sometimes it'd be like six or seven of us. It's crazy. Quite the living experience. Quite a fun experience. Did it for a while, did it for a few years, and I got the best training. Well, as I was doing all this, I made friends. I had some really fun matches, really good. I felt like I grew as a person a lot going through that system.
You had an incredible run in stardom, including being the World of Stardom champion, the first non-Japanese wrestler to hold the title. What does that mean to you?
it means a lot. I didn't realize how much of my heart was like still in stardom. Oh, I guess I always did realize, but I guess I never got over it. And it was, I guess I spent so much time there more than I realized, because just life moves so quickly that I love it out there. I really do. And I love the girls, and I look back on it and I have some really fond memories, and it made me who I am. It elevated me to who I am, and it gave me a big confidence boost, I think, as well, with my work, because I got to wrestle a lot. I got to wrestle long matches. I got to be in there with girls that are just out of this world good. And I guess, yeah, all those things kind of came together and really helped me grow.
We're talking with Toni Storm. In 2017, became the first wrestler to win two tournaments in the same year, the Cinderella and the Five-Star GP, which brings us to this question. We got fan questions coming up next segment, but we'll hit this one right now since we're talking about this. This is from Kimmy MTZ17, who wants to know on Twitter, Toni, knowing your previous experience in tournaments like the Mae Young Classic or the Cinderella Tournament in Stardom, the two tournaments that you won, do you think you have an advantage now over the rest of the field in the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess you could say that I have a decent amount of tournament experience. And
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that really helps me in this tournament. And so far, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I guess I'm a tournament guy. I don't know what it is. I just, I seem to attract tournaments.
Right. Put me in there every week. Absolutely.
It's great. It's a good time. Yeah. Let me wrestle. Send me in there. Put me to work. Make me do things.
If it ain't broken, it makes money. Keep it going.
Yep.
Also, I don't know how we haven't mentioned this yet, but I want to wish you congratulations. You got married in February, you and Juice Robinson. So that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
How's it working travel schedules out now that you're coming with us on the road all the time? Like, how are you handling?
It's been pretty crazy because he's back to work now. You know, he's, we're both back at it. And when we first got together, we were like, it was pandemic. So we had all this time together and we, you know, and now it's like, bye. But it's good. You know, we keep it together, and we got a little dog that we have to be home for as much as possible. So we're just constantly like trying to, we like wrestle and then we like get home as quick as we can for Ralph. It's really quite lame.
Yeah, it's your regular life of two people traveling, right? So is there something when you're together besides hanging out with your dog you'd like to do together?
We like to go to the beach. We like to just, yeah, we enjoy the outdoors. We just love being at home, to be honest. Like,
right.
It's kind of weird how much I've changed in the last few years. About 2 or 3 years ago, the thought of going home after a show was like, no, like I just lived for the road. But now I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I like being at home in Florida, and it's good. I like my downtime these days. It's weird.
Nothing weird about that at all.
No.
Yeah. I used to be such a crazy cat. I still am, but you know, I just go home a bit more now.
Right.
So yeah, when we're at home, we just like chilling. We like to eat. We like to grill. You know, we're just the typical Floridian newlyweds. On a postcard. There we are. That's us. Joe and Toe on the beach in Florida near you. I don't know what any of this means.
She's just delirious from the pee in the cup still.
Yeah. I mean, a guy peed beside me today, guys. It's been heavy.
After you wrestled a banger of a match on TV, you know, never know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's such a trip. It's like too much to unpack.
Too much to unpack. Well, one of the things that I've been really grateful for in like meeting you and meeting all the other wonderful people we have backstage is learning all about all of the things that make us tick and all the individual things that we are passionate about and we talk about. And I'm getting to you talking kind of more openly, more about your mental health struggles with anxiety and depression. So one, thank you for talking about all that stuff, because I always appreciate it. Two, what inspired you to speak up about all this stuff?
I don't know. It just kind of feels good, doesn't it? It's good that I just think it's good to open up about stuff and not keep it so like, you know, uptight, and you'll go crazy and then you'll be like on a early flight peeing in cups going, you know, you want to, you know, get it out there and turn to people that you can trust. And I've found about doing that is it just encourages people to do the same and seems to help people. So yeah, it feels good.
Toni, what do you do on a daily basis to take care of yourself?
Well, right now I feel like just this year in particular, it's radical self-care at the moment. I'm just really taking good care of myself. I'm going to the gym a lot. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm eating my salads. I'm getting my sleep in. I don't drink any alcohol whatsoever, just to keep a clear head, clear mind, because I went through a hell of an ordeal not so long ago, and it was quite like the toxic, stressful situation. But I feel like I've really been doing well coming out of that, better than I thought, really growing, really maturing, and taking really good care of myself, more than I ever have. So I think it's important for me to be like that so that I can deliver these matches to the best of my ability. Because to be honest, there's been times in the past where I just haven't been in a good spot mentally, and I've seen it in my work. I'm looking back at some of the stuff I've done, I'm like, wow, that was terrible. I was totally not in the right mental state. I was not in a good state of mind. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was really down. I wasn't talking to people. I wasn't asking for help. I don't know, something happened last year, I guess, where I just kind of snapped out of it and was like, right, I'm gonna take care of me and me first, because I'm not good to anyone unless I do that. So I've undergone this transformation of just like, keep a clear head and just get your shit together, Tony. Tony Schiavone, get your shit together.
I'll do it. There's things that I do here at the house, you know, for my mental health, and things that I do on a daily basis, Lexapro. And there's also...
it does help. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Hell of a dress.
And therapy and, you know, just keeping a clear head. You know, that's important, man. That I'm with you on that.
Keeping calm as well, with the adrenaline as well. I found that, like, wrestling at a young age, like, kind of spiked my adrenaline a lot, and I would let it kind of escalate. And I've been living a very fast paced lifestyle for a long time, since I was like in England. Like, when I was in England, in the UK, I was hustling. I wasn't stopping. It's just been like nonstop ever since. And I never took that time to sit back and take care of myself and get it together. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to do whatever it takes to be okay. Who cares about anything else? Who cares about what anyone thinks? I gotta do what's right for me.
Yeah,
and I think it's important. Everyone's got to do that.
And you've been living a fast-paced lifestyle since you're 13. I mean, we've kind of chronological, but yeah. And now look at you at age 20. I mean, my gosh,
yeah.
7 years later. Wow, tremendous. We're talking with Toni Storm. We're having a delightful conversation about a variety of things. When we come back, it's time for fan questions on Unrestricted.
This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey here with wonderful and amazing Toni Storm. We've covered mental health. We've covered pissing in cups. We've covered a lot of wonderful things. Wonderful and not wonderful things. There's just nothing really... I mean, the wonderful thing is that he didn't spill a cup of piss on you. Like,
I had anxiety. Full-on anxiety. Like, when the plane goes up and it's shaking, you're like, I don't know how turbulent this is about to be, and this guy's got a cup of piss and he's juggling it beside me. There's so much anxiety. Too much anxiety too early in the morning.
All right. Well, less anxiety. Now we have awesome fan questions, and I'm really happy the fan questions came in before they heard about the piss in the cup story.
Thank God.
No pun intended, but we have AEW Liquid on Twitter asks, I love your rock and roll attitude. Who's your rock star inspiration when you enter the ring?
Nikki Sixx. As you can tell, I've got his little line tribute. Yeah, huge Motley Crue fan, so Nikki Sixx.
Rock and roll girl we got here with us. At Lamora wants to know, Ruby Soho once mentioned having to make a big adjustment to her cardio once she made the jump to AEW because of the longer matches. Did you have to sort of adjust your approach to wrestling since you've been a part of our company?
To be honest, since pandemic, I find it's been like wrestling so sparingly is really difficult. No matter how much cardio I seem to do it, it is harder. Definitely. I don't know what it is. Whereas if I'm wrestling consistently, I don't seem to notice. I feel fine. Yeah, when it's like I wrestle 1 week and then it's maybe 2 weeks and then it's like 10 minutes here and 2 minutes here, it's like, oh God, it's pretty difficult. But with my radical self-care, I have been getting through it, no problem. I've been eating my fruits and vegetables, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go. Beacon of health, Toni Storm.
Starbucks.
Caffeine. I mean, I don't know how people don't do life without caffeine, so I fully support it. We have a question from AEW Showcase on Twitter. I'd like to know if Tony has a favorite memory during her time in stardom over in Japan.
Oh, God, so many memories. I have a lot of the memories of vague memories of doing karaoke with a lot of the girls out there in stardom.
Vague.
Really good memories. You know what was really nice times for me out there was after every stardom show, they like get everyone in the ring and we all do a big bow to the crowd. And there's like, we all do like a, this is stardom pose. And I always loved doing that after the show, because we would just all be like, you know, the bunch of us would be kind of silly, and it was, you know, it was nice, it was good times, and everyone really like bonded and connected, and it was I love doing that, like in places like Korakuen Hall. I loved wrestling in Korakuen. I loved the whole experience. It's really hard to narrow it down to just one thing. I have so many precious memories of so many nice people out there.
From @TonyShivani24. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't do karaoke anymore, guys. Just saying. But during those days. You know what was so funny? Like, one time, it was so... It was quite late in the night. I wasn't intending on doing karaoke this night at all, but I ended up doing a lot of karaoke. You know where it's kind of Moorish? You kind of get into it, and they're like, you don't want to stop, and then...
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, go, you should do it. And then they're like, half an hour later, they have to wrestle the microphone off you. And like, they're all covering their ears. And somehow I was singing Minoru Suzuki's entrance song. It's in Japanese and I don't speak Japanese. But I was singing it and I was good. Well, I think I was. And then I bunch of those little bastards had their hands over their ears. What's that about? Bullshit. Great singer at Minoru Suzuki's entrance song.
That's tremendous.
I was reading through the questions earlier, and I'm going to skip ahead so I have the chance to ask this question because I find it fascinating. Ryan Kratz on Twitter asks, I've heard that your mom was so supportive that she sold hot dogs at the concession stand so you could wrestle. Is this true?
Yes. When I first started, I wrestled for this company in Australia called IPW Australia, and we would have these weekly shows. Every Saturday night, we would have a show in these little industrial sheds. Like an industrial shed, like, you know, no one would go to them. It would usually be moms and dads. But we were there every weekend putting on a show like it was like our life dependent on it. And my mom would go to them, and like, I was really young. I shouldn't have been like wrestling with a bunch of boys. But, you know, it was a way for her to kind of, I guess, be there and support me. And, you know, she got into it and everyone knew my mom. And like, she's made a lot of my sets of gear, and she's been really supportive through this entire journey. So that's true. Yeah. I'm going to have to find a photo or something. There's mom selling hot dogs.
Oh, that would be great.
She's old. Yeah. So good.
@ThomasMcCauley asked, being from the Gold Coast, did you ever watch Sea Patrol?
No, I guess not. I've never heard of it. Didn't really watch too much TV growing up.
Okay.
Just watched wrestling. Just, you know.
Very clearly.
Running around, just wrestling, being silly. Sorry. There's that conversation over, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. Question answered. Move on. That's right.
Nope. Ain't seen it. Sorry.
Well, the next step is for you to obviously go and watch it, but whatever. A question from lovely Lance Loomley. Huge Tony fan, especially since she's into the 80s rock and roll. What's her favorite Motley Crue album and song?
Oh, God. Why is this always favorites? Favorites, favorites, favorites. It's going to drive me nuts. My favorite song is Same Old Situation, but you know what? It changes every day. Some days it's Home Sweet Home, sometimes it's Wild Side. And no particular album that I favor. I like all their old stuff. I didn't quite like the 90s stuff, you know, like that when they didn't have Vince Neil. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to talk too much about this. I'll sound like a nerd.
Oh, no. I mean, do you want to talk about Motley Crue more than you talked about Piss? Because then otherwise you're a person who's really into Piss, and that's weird.
Wow.
What if I am? Don't judge me.
I mean, everybody's into something. I'm not here to judge.
This will be the latest headline. Tony Storm reveals that she's into Piss.
Wow.
See, now they're just going to like copy and paste a transcript on like a fucking ringsidenews.com, and like,
yeah.
Now it's going to sound like I'm actually into it. And then every, like, all these idiots will read it and just straight up believe it. My mom will be messaging me next.
Well, just let you guys know, at third segment, 5 minutes to go, this officially went off the rails, if it hadn't before.
What are you talking about?
Okay, we're going to go back to Chris Broadbeck, who wants to know, aside from the Japanese lettering and the umlauts on your gear and name, what cultural influences from your time in Europe and Asia have found their way into your daily life?
Like, what stuff from did I take with me now from, like, living in Japan?
Yeah.
My obsession with noodles, probably.
That's a really good one.
I like crushed. It's funny you ask this, because I got off that plane today that after that whole ordeal and just crushed sushi rolls, because I don't really eat much on show days.
Mm-hmm.
That was my refeed. Like, my love for Asian food is just ridiculous. It's embarrassing. It's like, so I'm obsessed. What else? I don't know. Would love it if I had one of their toilets in my house. That might be my next investment. You know, okay. You know, the Japanese toilets. Why is everything I've been talking about today bloody toilet related? What is wrong with me? It's just so embarrassing.
We are just the conduits for what you want to talk about, okay?
Oh my God. I'll share a quick story, because I totally agree with the Tony Storm loves food thing. So the first time I met Tony was a couple years ago. We were doing Mae Young Classic. We actually didn't get a chance to work together. But after the show, we hung out together. And wherever our hotel was like right across the street from an IHOP. And I swear, I have never seen girls put down that many pancakes before in my life.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about then.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like open the IHOP menu.
So when I say I crushed sushi today.
You know, you crushed like 4 dozen rolls. Like, that's the picture I had in my head. Because we went to the IHOP, you're like, you know what? Birthday cake cupcake pancakes sound good. And then a stack of like 6 of them with like party cake sprinkles and frosting come out. And I think you also ordered an omelet and also ate that.
I do that. Me,
but you also you had so many bruises all over your face because you had wrestled 4 times a day. So the waiter was just looking at us like, what is wrong with her?
My face wouldn't stop bleeding. I was worried it was going to like fall into the pancake topping.
You would have eaten it anyway.
I don't care. Like from The Simpsons with the donut machine episode. That's how I am. So you've seen how I am with food. I don't know. Like on show days, I don't want to eat. Oh, I'm too stressed. I'm like freaking out about the match all day. And then when after, oh my God, I don't know what comes over me. There was one time, you should see me with wings sometime. If you really want to see me put on a show, give me some chicken wings.
I want to see that.
Yeah. I kind of want to see that.
If I'm at the right level of hunger, I'll like demolish stuff. I could eat like a whole cake.
I believe it.
Zero effort.
I love the term. If I'm at the right level of hunger.
As I was saying it, I was like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but hopefully someone will know what I mean.
Oh, I feel you. We just became best friends on this podcast. You don't know it, but I feel you.
Oh, yeah. We should go and eat sometime. We should just like go off. It's like, yeah, we should just go like hit up a buffet.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, we're going to Vegas soon. So, yeah, no, that's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Right?
For a whole week.
Have you seen those places that have like the giant lobster and stuff? I want to find something like that. And just like, that's.
We're going to have to roll Tony Storm out of the buffet every day in Vegas. Just like.
Like, if you let me loose around some peel and eat shrimp, I might never stop. Like, never stop.
All right. I want to hit one more question here. And I hope this doesn't bring back memories, because we went on a positive note. But at Kane wants to know, was the pie in the face thing at WWE the final straw for you? And who greenlit that segment?
I mean, it's food. So I would assume it was okay at first.
Well, if you must know, I was actually quite happy with that segment that day, because it was a lot better than the original idea. The original idea was like, I was called up and asked if I was comfortable with having my shirt ripped off or something. Like, they wanted to do this whole angle where it was like they were going to rip my shirt, so I'd be all like embarrassed in my underwear, I guess. I don't know. And then when you're asked if you're comfortable if you're to do that, and it's like literally people are being fired every single week, it's like, well, yeah,
sure, I'm comfortable. I could become comfortable very quickly.
Yeah, I guess I'm comfortable with that. I guess I'm going to be doing that. But then a lot of people fought to like not have that happen, because that would have been terrible, a terrible idea. So to be honest, the pie was actually like a really, it was quite a sweet treat in comparison to what it could have been.
Right.
In hindsight, I don't really mind. It was quite fun. You know what? I'm not even mad. People think I'm so mad about that. I think it's hilarious. Stanek covered in pie.
As you said, it was quite sweet. And if you're at the right level of hunger.
You know what I mean? We're just talking about how much I could just demolish food. And then they go throwing food at me. So that was, okay, that was a good day. Not painful memory at all. That was a good one, to be honest.
Yeah. No, this is the perfect punctuation of your time there. It's like, we got to end it with food.
That was one of my better times.
Tony, you are so much fun. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, guys.
And now with all the pertinent information about AEW, here's referee extraordinaire Aubrey Edwards.
AEW Dynamite is on TBS Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, 7 central. AEW Rampage is on TNT Friday nights at 10 p.m., 9 central. TNT, TBS, we're on all the networks. Yep. And they're on YouTube Mondays with AEW Dark Elevation, on Tuesdays with AEW Dark. Both are at 7 o'clock, 6 central. This podcast comes out Thursday mornings on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can just search for us, AEW Unrestricted. And then Monday morning, afternoon-ish, depending on your various time zones, you can watch all of our pretty faces talk about dudes being on cups and airplanes.
That's right. And Toni Storm can follow her on Instagram at Toni Storm _. That's TONISTORM _.
I am Aubrey Edwards.
My name is Tony Schiavone.
Yes. And this has been great. Tony Storm, all of us, thank you for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Yay!
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Blouse it like they bossing in the